This is Will's Band of the Week for May 19th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris.
I'm here.
He's again at an undisclosed location. And when we first got connected, he sounded like he was in a hurricane or some kind of windstorm. But we've gotten past that audio issue. But as the podcast goes on, I think we might have more surprises. So we'll see. So you never know what's going to happen. That's the fun thing about this podcast, right? You just never know what's going to happen next.
Literally anything could happen.
Right. People are on the edge of their seats at every moment.
You could be eaten by a shark, like, at any point.
Could happen. Yep. All right. Let's see. Well, I don't think I have actual music news, but I have, like, some random stuff. Do you have any music news or random stuff?
I do not. I kind of scoured the music landscape. Didn't really come up with anything good. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, so it's kind of up to us to make the news. We make the news. We're journalists who make the news also, right?
Yes.
So, I read the Peter Criss book. I bet a lot of people are interested about that.
Wow.
So, yeah. How many of our listeners would care to read a biography of a former member of KISS? Probably not many.
There are probably still a good number of the KISS army out there that would be interested, I suppose.
Yeah, it'd be all right.
And it seems like one of those bands that would have, like, a whole lot to talk about. Like, their life experience would just be chock full of good nuggets.
So. A lot of dirt. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's the whole, nothing really surprising in it, but, you know, he thinks he got ripped off by Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, you know, never got the credit he deserved or whatever. And, you know, they were, because Gene Simmons in particular, I think he's like this hard negotiator businessman. But, you know, when it comes down to it, that's KISS more than most other, like, actual bands is just a big business, right? So, I mean, they were never in it to be, like, you know, musicians who would be, like, respected as musicians. You know, I mean, I think Peter Criss kind of was maybe in it for that, but I think he was kind of riding along with the, you know, the Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley Corporation, and they made it huge. So I don't know if he's got much to complain about.
I was gonna say they didn't bleed for their art, but they did bleed a lot,
yeah, exactly.
Actually, for it. Yeah,
they sure did. Yeah, so I'll just say it's probably for fans only. But if you listened to KISS back in the 70s or even the early 80s, yeah, it's worth reading. He writes from a pretty, like, good, honest sounding perspective, and of course there's just tons of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So
that sells books.
Pretty exciting review there, huh? Okay, here's my next thing. I stumbled upon this. Eef Barzelay, did you know that he did this thing called fan chosen covers?
Yes.
It's a. I guess he calls it Clem Snide, but it's really just Eef, right?
Yes.
And well, I didn't know about it until I don't know how I stumbled upon it, but because this is volume 2, it's on Bandcamp, and it's one of those, you know, you just pay whatever you want for it. And I think I paid him a couple bucks. Is that bad, like, that you've, like, you're supposed to feel good about yourself because you paid him $2? I don't know. I mean, I don't want to pay him nothing. But again, I don't know. So whatever. I shouldn't even admit it, right? But I paid him a couple bucks. And, you know, it's pretty good. And it just made me think, what makes a singer-songwriter with a guitar stand out from other singer-songwriters with a guitar? And I don't even know what it is, but here's a song that he covers that I thought he did a great job on. It's the old song by The Church called Under the Milky Way.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, the sound of their voice fades with the light. Think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtains down on Memphis. Lower the curtains down, all right. I've got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking for. Might have.
I think that's impressive.
Yeah, it's good stuff. One of the other things that he did, which is pretty cool, is using the same kind of model. If you donate a certain amount to him, it was like $100 or something, he'll actually write a song for you and put your name in it. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he put together a whole album full of songs that he wrote for other people that, you know, includes their name. So, you know, if you wanted to do something nice for your wife for a birthday gift or something, then you'd have him write a song and throw her name in there. So it's pretty neat.
Hopefully the lyrics would be appropriate. Maybe you have to tell him, you know, like, here are the themes I'd like you to cover.
Yes. Sweetheart, I want to tap that booty. Something like that.
Yeah. Whatever you might choose. Yeah.
It's funny that as you were playing that song, I was flipping around here, and HBO is showing the 2013 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Mm-hmm. And so as we were listening to that, I was watching, they're running the people who died this year, the death of the year roll, as it were.
Oh, yeah.
And the first one to come up was Chris Etheridge, bassist from the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Wow.
Who I guess I had never heard of, so... Mm. There you go.
I've heard of the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah. Reg Presley, singer of the Troggs.
Well, when you think of how many bands are out there, I mean, people are dying at a faster rate than we are seeing it reported in the news, right?
Rick Huxley, bassist for the Dave Clark Five. A lot of bassists here.
Uh-oh.
You got to be careful. Clive Burr, drummer for Iron Maiden.
Wow.
Isn't it the joke that the drummer always goes first, though?
Usually, yeah.
Oh, here's the Divinyls woman that you were talking about last week.
Yep.
Oh, and MCA from the Beastie Boys. Okay, I could just go on all day, but...
Yeah.
Please, go on.
All right, so check out the Clem Snide Fan Chosen Covers 2. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah, it sounds good.
I think it's just a rare talent to be able to take a song and then play it on an acoustic guitar, and it's like better than, you know, 99% of people could do that. He changes the vocal line pretty much completely, and it all just fits and it's good. So anyway, and it's you know, a ridiculously diverse set of songs. Check it out. I think you can check it out by doing a Google search for Clem Snide Fan Chosen Covers 2. I think that'd be a good way to find it?
Yeah, that's a long Google search.
You know that everything is on Google now? Everything. I just, maybe you knew that already, but just, you know, you want to know something, just go to Google.
That's like buzz marketing for Google. They should pay us. How about poor Bing?
That's a good point. Yeah, there was did you see that thing where they, I don't even know where I saw this, but Bing was trying to get people to switch from Google to Bing, and they did this thing where you could type in a search and then it would give you side by side the results from both of them, and then it would be blind, you know, so it would say, okay, here is result one and here's result two, and then you pick which one you like better, and then you get to the end of it and it says, you know, you picked Bing in 4 out of 6. It's, you know, little differences in how they index stuff, and I don't think there was a big difference. So now we gave equal time to Bing, so now they can give us some money too, right?
Poor Bing, which is only backed by Microsoft, which of course has no money at all.
Right. They're kind of hurting. They need our help. Yeah. Okay, so here's the other thing I thought of for this week. You know, we've never really gone negative on the podcast, right? I mean, we always keep things positive, right?
Yeah, occasionally.
I mean, we you know, we slam the Grammys and stuff, right?
Sure.
How much do we just say, that is terrible, I hate that, it's a terrible song? So I was in a store the other day, and I heard this song, and I thought to myself, that is a horrible, horrible song. So I'm going to play it for you. This is an example of a terrible song. So bad I'm going to disrespect it by talking over it. Listen to that. That's Billy Idol doing a cover of a song that wasn't good earlier. It wasn't good to begin with.
Well, see, that was going to be my first question. Are you disrespecting the original Money Money by Tommy James and the Shondells?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm disrespecting everything about it. It was bad from the beginning. It's bad when it's covered. That organ thing is terrible. I don't know what Money Money means either, and I don't really care to know. It's just terrible.
But see, when you think, when the original song, when you put it in the context of the type of music that was coming out at the time, it was pretty on the level of everything that was, you know, its contemporaries. But yeah. I think what you're reacting to is the fact that Billy Idol, given the rock era, would try to revive it.
Yeah, maybe that got me. You know,
I think that's
what
you're reacting to.
A song like that with him with that dumb sneer on his face, you know, it's just, come on. It's just bad. But even the song I heard in the store, I don't even know if it was the Billy Idol version or the Tommy James. Because I tried to find the Tommy James one on Spotify, and I found it, but it sounded different. So I don't know. Maybe it was another one of the 50 recordings of that song or whatever.
Well, but I've had a similar experience in the last couple of weeks where my children have been listening to this. Have you heard this Pitbull song? It's called Feel This Moment.
I don't think
where
so.
He essentially takes the a-ha song Take On Me, which is a 30-year-old song,
yeah,
and just kind of takes the main riff and just completely rips it off, drops it into his song, and then has Christina Aguilera like singing over it. And this is the biggest song in America right now. Like, you cannot get away from it. It's on commercials. My kids are playing it in the house all the time, and it's just, yeah, I want to strangle somebody every time that I hear it.
It just makes you hate it even more. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I finally told my kids, I'm like, you realize that this is just stolen from a song from when I was a little kid. Then I feel like mom and dad just got like, what, a 0.5% cooler.
Oh, so it didn't. I thought you were trying to poison them, but you just decided to tell them that this is from when I was a kid. So they still love it, right?
They still love it, but yeah, it's I thought it incumbent on me to tell them that it's just ripped off. It's just stolen.
Yeah. Right.
By some no talent like Pitbull.
Pitbull,
and
the
video is just absolutely outrageous. It's off the charts ridiculous. So
wow. All right, well, tell people to steer clear of that. Okay.
Biggest song in America. You almost can't steer clear of it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I have. I don't know if I've heard it or not.
Yeah.
So, okay, this is the worst rock music category song ever right here. Okay, I can't let it go any longer. I mean, how much mileage can you try to get out of, like, the stupidest synthesizer riff ever?
What are you talking about? That's a great song.
So bad. Oh, my God. It's a great song. Really? You're going to say that?
Too much time on my hands. Are you putting that in, like, the We Built the City Starship category?
Yeah. there was something about We Built the City that it generated enough humor that I kind of, my friends and I were able to get like a humor value out of it.
Yeah, we built the city on rock and roll, which I believe is in violation of some building codes. I don't think you can build, like, you can't like build a house on rock and roll.
We always used to love it that that she rhymed corporation names and corporation games. It's like, okay, great. That's a good one.
The rhyme that shows up in music that always drives me crazy, I almost just said it, is when people rhyme baby with crazy.
Yeah,
it comes up a lot. Just listen to how often it comes up, and they don't rhyme, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like a sloppy rhyme. Yeah,
when I'm president, I will. There will be an executive order.
Do you think you think that's worse than changing and rearranging?
That's closer.
Because you think, you know, changing and rearranging, it does rhyme, but it's such a cheap rhyme because it's sort of a synonym, right? And it's just it's just bad. It's just too easy.
Yeah,
you know. And then of course there's knees and please, which is pretty good, you know.
And then there are the people that actually attempt to rhyme the same word with itself.
Yeah, right. Well, writing lyrics is probably harder than it's cracked up to be, right? You and I haven't written lyrics. Have you ever written lyrics?
No.
You've written some riffs on that Strat, right? But no lyrics to go along with it, huh?
No, I will not be self-recording any albums lately.
I think
anytime soon.
I think if you're a bad lyricist, then you need to just go completely vague and murky and basically try to not make any sense, but have people think that you were thinking of something that did make sense to you at the time, right?
Yeah. See, I always enjoyed like Beck's lyrics that are just complete non sequiturs that had nothing to do with each other. But they were somewhat humorous and creative, so they don't really tell a story of any kind. It's just kind of,
yeah. And but they're not dumb either. You don't like listen to them, and the one that I always think of is Rick Ocasek with the Cars.
Yeah,
he would write these words, and it was like, I think I'll pull some words out of the dictionary and then make up something. They seemed really like kind of like that.
Yep.
All right, so I've got one more bonus thing here. This is kind of fun, actually. There's a website. It seems like a terrible website, but for some reason, this is a good little piece of writing. The site is called Web2Cars, and it's the number 2 and the letter Z. And it says, the original autos and lifestyle... I can't even read it. Well, anyway, it's supposed to relate to cars in some way, I guess. But... somebody on that site wrote an article titled The Top 25 Most Overplayed Songs of All Time. And it's pretty good. It's like most of them I can kind of agree with. Number one is Stairway to Heaven.
That was going to be my first pick.
You know, classic song, but way, way overplayed. More Than a Feeling by Boston. Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Imagine by John Lennon. You know, I could see that. I mean, it does get overplayed for sure. And then the number five... Every Song by the Eagles. It's not bad, right? Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel. I guess I haven't heard that enough to be like to think it's overplayed, but I suppose it is.
Yeah, it makes its way into a lot of movies and such.
Yeah. Brown Eyed Girl, Dancing.
That I would agree with.
Dancing in the Streets, various artists. He's like, well, whoever plays Dancing in the Streets. Remember when Van Halen did Dancing in the Streets? That was terrible. That was really bad. Bohemian Rhapsody, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, how dare they.
Tainted Love. Okay, here we go. The first one I don't know. Two Princes by the Spin Doctors.
Oh, yes.
You must know that because that's a 90s song. I probably know it too. But
that was a college song.
Louie Louie, however you pronounce that. Love Shack by the B-52s. Sweet Caroline. Come On, Eileen. Here we go. Rehab by Amy Winehouse. I don't even know if I've ever heard it, so...
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that to be overplayed. It was played a lot, you know, when it was popular, but I haven't heard it since.
Forever Young by Rod Stewart. Good Riddance, Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Yeah, maybe.
Dream
that
On.
That was in that's how the last Seinfeld episode signed off with that song.
Ah, that's a good little bit of trivia.
Yeah.
Dream On by Aerosmith. Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones. Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger. I'll go with that one for sure. Man, oh man.
Yes.
Don't Speak by No Doubt. I don't know that, but I know that I never liked No Doubt. So.
Yeah, I don't like that song, but I wouldn't necessarily consider it to be overplayed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how much could it have been played, you know?
Yeah.
American Pie, and the last one on the list is Happy Birthday by Everyone. So, you know, that's a pretty good list for some guy writing for a car website.
Yeah.
So.
I'm trying to think of what I would I'd throw in there, but.
See, the thing is,
we can do that next week. I need time to think about it.
Yeah, I don't listen to the radio anymore, so I can't complain about things being overplayed. But it's funny because a lot of the things on this list are just like, it's the same as it would have been 15 years ago. You know, it's the same songs being overplayed. A good overplayed song never grows old, apparently. Just keep going. We used to joke about that like this classic rock station that I grew up listening to, you could just go back to town 10 years later and the whole playlist would be the same.
It doesn't have to be good. It just has to be old to be classic.
Right, right. And those recordings will live on forever, theoretically forever. Probably not really forever. But all right, let's go to our featured bands. And I think I told you this, I've been really excited to talk about this band because I really like this album. It's a band called Savages, and they're from London. They're all women. They don't take any crap from anybody. And they play kind of a edgy, dark, probably got the Joy Division comparison. But and I had the same reaction to this album as I did to the first Interpol album. Like here's a band that's sort of updating an old sound, but it's really exciting. So the album is called Silence Yourself, and I'm going to start with a song called She Will. That is great. I love that. Like, what else am I going to say? It's just like, if I've got a musical wheelhouse, I think that's it right there.
Yeah, I figured, I've only listened to this a couple times, but I figured that'd be right down your alley, given, I hear a little bit of Karen O in there, the infallible Karen O.
Right, right, there was a little bit there. Yep, the screaming.
So, yeah, I mean, given the trend recently has been towards, you know, kind of poppier girl groups like the Dum Dum Girls and Best Coast and, you know, groups like that.
Yeah.
They're definitely a little, they're kind of in the same vein, but definitely a lot gloomier.
Right. Right. And, you know, did you ever notice, I don't know, when I was younger and I was, you know, growing into the music snob that I've become, and one thing I noticed was that I would have a higher preference for gloomy music than most people. Like, you know, if you ask the average person, like, who's just a general music listener and not really super avid, right? If, you know, certain things you can just say, hey, here's something that I really like, you should listen to this, right? And it, usually if it's a gloomy thing, they're just going to be like, nah, I'm not going to go for that, right?
Yeah, rarely do you say to yourself, I'm in too good of a mood and I need something to bring me down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just weird. Yeah. All right, let's play another one. This is the one, actually, I should introduce this. This is the first song that I heard by this band. It was several months ago, maybe even a year ago, I heard this song because it was a single, and you know, it was a long time before they put together a whole album. And ever since I heard it, I've been looking forward to the album. So now the time has come. This is called Husbands. Yeah, that's sort of some thrash rock with, there's a little Karen O kind of thing going on there too, I guess. So, yeah.
That's your deal.
I love it. Okay, one more, and this is going to tie in with an earlier discussion. This is the last song on the album, and you know how I was saying that a lot of times they tack one on, and it's like, okay, this is to show that we're diverse, and they put the piano song at the end, and that's exactly what this is, except it's good. So I think it's just... It totally works. They pull off the piano song at the end. So let's play it. It's called...
All right.
It's Marshall Dear. Savages. That was Marshall Deer, the last track, where they pull out the piano and pull it off completely, in my opinion.
Wow, you're smitten. I feel like we have a top tenner on our hands for you.
I'm afraid we do, yep.
One of the things that I appreciate the most about them is the... I heard somebody discussing the fact that they... I guess they don't ban the use of cell phones during their concert, but they strongly recommend people don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is starting to aggravate me going to concerts and like trying to watch a show while people are filming and everybody's got their hands up trying to take pictures and during the show. It's like put the cameras down and enjoy the show.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think they're pretty hardcore on that.
Yeah, wasn't there some story that they like basically yelled at the audience, scolded them or something?
Yeah. I'm for that.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. All right, Savages, highly recommended by me. Okay, you know there's a new Phoenix album, and when there's a new Phoenix album, it's music news, right?
And it is.
And I liked the last Phoenix album quite a bit. It was really fun, poppy music, and Grant and I saw them at Lollapalooza, and I thought they were, you know, people were saying, this is not a band worthy of a headline spot at Lollapalooza. And I thought they totally pulled it off. They were great. Of course, I think the other band in the other headlining spot at the same time, I think, was Soundgarden. So I didn't mind missing that. But anyway, so there's another Phoenix album now. You know, when the album was in its, you know, pre-release where they were putting singles out, they put a couple of these songs out beforehand. And I was laughing because one of the sites said something like, Phoenix release... really Phoenix-y sounding single. And I said,
yeah.
It was totally Phoenix-y sounding. And so they still have kind of the same sound, but I think there's a lot of catchy stuff on this, and I think you know, I'm going to give it a general positive review because it's just enjoyable in a way that you don't have to be a critic. You just listen to it and say, hey, that band kind of knows their pop thing. So did you say you've listened to this or not? I can't remember.
I haven't listened to at all. So.
Okay.
You're going to surprise me.
All right, here we go. Now, this one I'm going to play, there's going to be a little quiz afterwards, so listen carefully. It's called The Real Thing.
So just to show you how well I know you, I already know what the quiz question is and what the answer to that question is.
Because you looked at the playlist, right?
What?
Is that why? Did you look at the Will's Band playlist and you know
no,
the song I'm going to
play? I figured the question you were going to ask is what is the song and what is the sound in the background? What song is that from?
Right.
And the answer is Prince's When Doves Cry.
Oh, man. You are good. Hear that? Is that great? Okay, so that song, it's Prince, When Doves Cry, from the Purple Rain album. I was listening to a little bit of the album, going through it a little bit, and there are several songs on that album where he uses that sound.
Yes.
So this dates back, and you know how they make that sound? I'm going to tell you this. Do you know?
No, give me a little insight.
It's a slowed down rim shot. Okay, a rim shot on a drum. Record it digitally and then slow it down. And it turns it into that sound.
Oh, and that's like early 80s. Like, I think that album came out in 1984. So that's good technology for back in the day, for 30 years ago.
Yep. Well, those were the days. You know, I was living in Minneapolis, so I heard all the Prince mania. You know, it was an interesting time.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch Purple Rain again, and I bet there's a chance I see you like in the back in the Revolution.
Right. Yeah, Purple Rain, I remember liking it. I really wasn't a fan of Prince's music, but I was just totally surrounded by it. And then I grew to like this one album. It's kind of the only Prince album that I ever really liked. But then I remember seeing the movie and thinking, yeah, this is kind of cool.
You go back and listen to some of the older ones, Controversy and, of course, 1999, and those are all quality albums.
And he built such a credibility from that prime time of his that now it's whatever, 20, 30 years later, and he'll, no matter what he does, he's always respected all the time. And I wonder, you know, it's like, has he really put out good stuff? Yeah. I don't know, but anyway.
It's been... Yeah, it's been thin the last decade or so.
Yeah.
But ever since Bat Dance. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
He did the theme song for the first Batman movie. It was like 1988 or 89, something like that.
Huh.
God, go back. I'm going to put that on the Facebook page. It's classic. So earlier we were talking about the most overplayed songs. I would have to put Phoenix in that category. From their last album, the song 1901 was everywhere like 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
And I could not, I didn't really like that song. I didn't really like the album all that much. I like Phoenix, but I really liked the one before that, which is called It's Never Been Like That.
Yep.
But for some reason, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, which came out in 2009, never really, I gave it a try, but it never really caught my attention. So.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll have to see if this new one, by the way, it's called Bankrupt. So, and I don't think they're anywhere near being bankrupt. So they're probably just imagining being bankrupt, hoping that this album will not make them bankrupt. I don't think it will. Okay, here's one called Bourgeois. One of the slower ones, Bourgeois. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, kind of takes its time.
Yep. And let's go back. I'll play one more. Go back. This is going to be another one that's kind of Phoenix-y sounding. So, see what you think. It's called Drakkar Noir. You could do it better than Drakkar. That's Phoenix. They're having some fun. You can have some fun along with them if you choose to listen to the album. Yeah, I think it's a good, nice, easy on the ears pop album. And they slow it down a little bit, and every once in a while they're kind of off their game a little bit. But for the most part, pretty good album. So I'm going to give it a thumbs up. So, hey, there was a little synthesizer thing in there that reminded me of something. Did you catch that?
Yeah, it was almost like kind of an Asian type of like somebody in the early 80s, if they were trying to play an Asian song or
yeah,
something,
like,
that would have been the sound. Yeah.
Like maybe this. I think that was it.
Yes.
We caught you, Phoenix. You've been caught red-handed.
I wouldn't have come up with that reference, but
you,
yes,
you
it
grabbed
sounds,
that
does
riff.
Sound like that.
Yep, that's David Bowie, China Girl. All right, okay. So let's see. I'm done. It's your turn. You're
going
right. to tell us about the knife, right?
Yes. Well, the knife is it's actually a brother and a sister, and they're Swedish. They're from Stockholm. Olaf and Karen Dreyer, I believe. They started the band in 1999. They were actually nominated in 2003 for a Grammy for Best Pop Album. But when you hear the samples from this album, you will note that they are no longer poppy in any sense at all.
Not really.
So, it's electronic music. It's a little darker than you would say from other electronic bands that we've talked to, like, say, Hot Chip or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of melody going on there, but I don't know. To me, the high points on this album are really high. There's certainly some filler, but we'll start off by playing the second song on the album, which is 10 minutes long, and it's called Full of Fire. We'll be right back.
The Knife.
Yeah, by the time that song finishes up, it's 10 minutes. It takes a lot of twists and turns, so it's well worth it all the way through. Now, I'm not willing to give this album my full 100% support because in the middle there's a 19-minute song essentially just of ambient noise.
Yeah, that, which, you know, that was what kept me from, like, just giving this album maybe the chance that it deserved. You know, I listened to it. I tried to listen to it a couple times through. I think I did actually put it on and a couple times through. And the one you just played was definitely one of the highlights, and I liked it. I think it's good. But yeah, then you get to this 19-minute thing, and you're like, okay, what are these people doing? You know,
they're almost challenging you to turn it off.
Right, I dare you to not listen to this anymore. Right, and so right. I just didn't listen to it anymore. But yeah,
I think there's some comparisons between this, at least the better songs on here. And remember earlier in the year you did an album by a band called Daphne.
Yes, yes.
I think there is some comparison there, and I'll play a song that kind of sounds like that, which is number 9. It's called Networking.
The Knife.
Yeah, that will almost certainly not be one of the most overplayed songs of the year.
Probably not. Probably not. You're not going to see your kids, bopping to that on the top 40 radio station.
Yeah, but see, a song like that, I mean, that's all almost entirely just kind of texture and feel.
Right.
It's not going to set the Rick D's top 40 on fire. But like I said, I think the high points are high, and there's certainly some filler on the album. But I don't know; it's worth a listen on Spotify if you want to dial it up.
Yeah, it's got some cool sounds. That's one thing that sometimes I find frustrating about electronic music is that when it's good, it can be so good, but then the artists tend to drag it out for a long time.
Yeah.
So, but should we play one more, or does that sum it up?
If you want to play another one, number 5 is pretty good. It's kind of slow and it's got a big beat to it. It's called Wrap Your Arms Around Me.
Let's do it.
Wrap your arms around me.
That's good. I think if the Knife had you as their executive producer, they'd put together a good solid album. Now the critics don't
I could tell them which ones are worthwhile. Yeah.
Exactly. The critics don't seem to mind though, right? I mean, this album got great reviews, and I don't know if people are complaining about the 19-minute noise song and the white noise, whatever that is. And then there's
wouldn't critics like say that that's great though, that the you know, that they're challenging their listeners or whatever?
I guess so. But I kind of think like the tracks that we just played are kind of that way, where they're just really interesting and they're a little bit challenging too, and it's a good balance, I think. So
if they could cut out the riffraff, then I think this would be a great album.
Yeah. So I mean, just listening to this now makes me want to listen to it a little bit more. I do still have a Spotify playlist of it, which means that I haven't given up on it, you know. And if a lot of times I'll do that, I'll put something on the Spotify playlist, and you know, if like a month and a half has gone by and I just haven't been motivated to listen, I'm like, all right, this one's out of here, this one's gone. But a lot of them linger on because I'm thinking it's still worth listening to some more. So
I hear the band practice has started up. Your
band
special guests
started. Yep. So I guess we're transitioning out from our music to theirs, so
they could be the outro.
Right, exactly. Well, anything else? Ready to sign off? I think we always do this though. We always give the listeners their money's worth. They're $0 worth.
Yeah, our podcast is worth every cent.
Exactly. All right, let's give them the contact information and hopefully we'll be back again next week. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be a little tricky to record a podcast, I think, but we'll see what we can do. So we'll talk to you again soon, let's say that, with another edition of Will's Band of the Week.
See ya.
Good night. You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage, willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @willsband. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.